Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
talented Shout Even Shy, the words you cannot say. She was singing and arranging and playing the guitar and doing all those things that you need to do to make a song happen. But the words were written by my co-host, Jay Hatter. Hi, Hatter, how are you?
I'm okay, AP. I'm okay.
Excellent. You have stumbled upon Blog Talk Radio, and you have stumbled upon a poetry show from a team of voices, and we are a group on allpoetry.com, and you can come to allpoetry.com and get yourself an account. You don't have to pay any money, and you can front up at the door of a team of voices, and you will find myself, AP Taylor, Hatter, and our co-host will join us shortly, Deborah Lee, at the door, and she will say hello and let you in, and then you can follow along to all the words of the poems that we have and the discussions that we have on the board. Otherwise, you can hear them and they sort of go into the air, and, you know, you can forget them, but you don't want to do that. You want to actually ruminate on them and think about them, comment on them. And so we have a topic every week, and that topic bounces backwards and forwards between myself and Hatter. And this week, I think I chose the topic while I was waiting to get on the plane or queuing to get on the plane to New Zealand is Sunset Hatter.
Sunset. Yeah.
I was very surprised that you didn't have any Sunset poems.
Me too. I don't.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't think I have any of the sunrise ones either.
Well, there you go.
I don't know why that is.
I'm just saying. I just sort of think about what poets do and how they look at things, and a lot of poets would actually have poems about sunset, but not all obviously.
But I did write one. I did write one.
Did you write one? Okay.
I did.
And Deborah Lee wrote one, and we've also got Stephen who bore us, and we've also got Gerald Green who wrote for us, and Budo the song, and Muffing the Soul has done a poem. So we've actually got, in the wider scheme of our show, Hatter, we've actually got a decent range of poems going on and people there, you know.
You know, I've got to say I've said this many times through the many years that we've been hanging out together. This group that we hang with, there's about a dozen of us, I guess. Maybe not quite that many, but that have gotten tight. And I have watched the talent of the poets just increase to a factor of, it's mind blowing sometimes. I would like to be able to go back and when we first started, read some of our old stuff and then just read what we sort of not take for granted, but it seems like it's a lot easier to pump out the status.
I've been doing that recently. I've been looking at some of the old stuff that I have because I've got poetry right back now to 2015. Welcome, Deb. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I am well, thank you. He was asking about our old poems, and I said, well, I've got a few of those and been going back and having a look at them. And it's interesting because the thing for me that's changed, I guess, over the period, Hatter, is the cadence and flow. I could always rhyme, and I tend to rhyme still, but the difference is in the words that I use so that the cadence and the and how it sounds is far, far better than what it was. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and we've mentioned it before. It's not just so, which of course it's the words that you choose. A good K is one that her word choice is spectacular. So's sky and hope, a pretty bird. It just comes with the territory. But along with that is like what follows what. What sound, rhyming sound, would sound best following another certain rhyming? And I think
I think
I do that almost unconsciously. Once I get a rhyming set down, where do I want to go from that? What's the sound that I want to? Because I think that's what tickles the feather in your ear, in your brain.
Yeah.
That feels makes you satisfactory. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because you're talking about rhyming and flow. Because I actually think my best rhyming and flow poem was done about 4 or 5 years ago.
You say it was your best was 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah,
your rhyming.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
went for a long. Go ahead.
Separate.
thought, well, I can't remember what I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
Your best rhyme.
Yeah, the best. Yeah, that's what it was too. Maybe I'll remember it. Maybe I won't.
Can I put mine on the board, hat up, that I think's my best rhyme? And it's actually from a little bit further behind that, but bear with me. This I really like this poem. I really do. This is from a little ways ago. This is Way Under Mushrooms. See what you, just the cadence and the flow, yeah? This is Way Under Mushrooms, and it goes a bit like this. Waters bubble in worn sandstone burl, way under mushrooms in caverns they twirl. Distant from swept grasses, dainty as spring, as a skipping girl into caves echo they sing. Rivulets rumble in wide chains of pearl, sediment stone people, pale orange pearl. Over years find an audience and galleries ring. Lazy waters unfurl, among limestone they sing. Waves collapse upon sandbanks swirl, deep below broad cliffs currents they hurl. Rivers and seas they gather, join a wellspring. Into currents whirl, as waves surge they sing.
And this is a year ago? A year ago?
Yeah, it is.
I had gone through, it wasn't that long ago, I went through something in my head saying that you got to ask yourself, have you written your best? Is the best thing you've ever written, is it already in your folders, or is it still to come?
Yep. Interesting question.
I had this. I had this premonition that I had already written my best, but I wasn't going to be able to write any better. And that's the wrong attitude to have, because of course, it's always going to get better and better. And there are the days you go back and you read, you go, damn, I can't believe I wrote that. Because sometimes it does work.
But I think the other piece of it too is that if you're in a group of people and you're writing all the time and you feel supported, you actually then will go and do other things as well. I mean, like, for example, you know, you've heard me sing on the radio, and most recently I've been doing little sketches, and I'm absolutely certain I wouldn't have been doing those if I hadn't have been in, you know, a group like this that was supporting me and was, you know, basically the where I knew I could try stuff and not, you know, be a complete flop at it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And
the way you write AP, I find it be hard to compare. Like you said, 4 years ago to a year ago to today, because it's the style, your style, I can be more impressed by the words you choose. But the way you, it always blows me away how you construct your rhyming lines, and it just always has blown me away from the first day I heard you read.
Yeah, it's just something that there's certainly something that you have, and then you. Every poem you write sort of takes, I'm a strong believer, every poem you write takes you to a new place, and you may not know where that's going to, but oftentimes for me, I'll write 15 or 20 poems, and I think, oh, you know, maybe I haven't got too far then, and then all of a sudden a poem will come out of nowhere, and you'll think, yeah, okay, that's what was going on, you know, and it's sort of, you have these little breakthrough sort of moments, for want of a better word, and I've constantly had that with the poetry, you know, constantly, and I think it's just because you spend the time on it and you read others and you get inspiration, even though sometimes you're soaking it up, but You just go forward, and you don't even know that it's happening. It just sort of happens by symbiosis or something. But
whatever that mechanics that thing is that can make you struggle or can make it just so easy. Sometimes it just flows out of you. And it's some of the best stuff you've written. You can't believe it. You know, I didn't even have to edit much. It just sort of spewed out. I know what you would call that or what causes it. I think just where you're at the state of mind at the time. I don't do stress well after the brain surgery I had. I don't do stress well when something's stressing me out.
Yeah.
It'll shut my creative juices off right at the neck.
I think for me, it's funny. I can be really busy at work and be writing really, really well. And sometimes I think it actually helps to have
It's like a heartache. I guess that is a kind of anxious stress also, but that can usually open the poet's third eye and you just start pouring it out on your paper, your emotions. So maybe it's as much stress as it is, where you are in that stress period.
I think it's really interesting, I when my father passed away, I tried very hard to write some poems about that and got completely lost in it. Yeah, it just didn't work at all. And then sort of 2 years later, I was in Nashville in America in a conference. And I'd had we'd had a great day and saw a great band live and I wandered back to the hotel, after midnight, and I picked up the iPad and I thought, I'll just see what I write. And all of a sudden, there came out, the poem I've been wanting to write for 2 years about my father. I think it was just because, it was so caught up in everything and being away and having separate air and just being able to think about writing something that was obviously very close to me, but it just sprang onto the page. It really did. It was fascinating. I couldn't write it quickly enough.
Yeah, I think you can be too close or try too hard, but you can be too close, too soon or whatever. It's a good example too is like I wrote to John Coe, may his rest in peace.
Yeah.
Now I didn't know John personally at all. He knew who I was, I knew who he was, and
yeah.
I always considered him a threat in contest, big time. If John Coe was in the contest, I had to be aware he was there. Now,
yes.
I wrote in tribute to John Coe as a poet, and I don't know
yes.
how many entries there were for the, but I ended up winning gold. And if you read the poem, what?
Congrats! That's great. There was a lot of entries.
Now I know for a fact there are other people that were in that contest that knew him personally, knew him a lot better than I did.
Yes.
And I got this feeling that I didn't cheat somebody out of something, but I don't feel, because I wrote it very like a personal, very personal poet to poet.
Yes.
Tribute. And I'm saying this very poorly, but, I felt like I represented myself wrong. Not that I did anything wrong.
I think the truth of the matter is that there's two different things going on. Yeah. There's people who were close to John and had a personal relationship with John, and that's sort of one thing, and they're trying to work through that because of, you know, their loss. But on the flip side of things, you know, what you're doing is you're entering a competition which is a task, and clearly the people who were judging that thought that you'd done that the best. And they're two different things. And at the end of the day, you know, you don't have to, nobody's got an attachment or a lock on relationships or connection or, you know.
Right, yeah. I think maybe it was easier for me because I wasn't quite as emotionally tied up.
I mean
that with all due respect to John. I really do.
No disrespect, absolutely.
My friends or everything.
No, completely.
But, And that thing just flowed out of me. I didn't edit much at all. It just sort of happened.
There you go. And for me, that tends to be my best writing as well, when it just sort of something somewhere just goes click and it just out it comes.
Well, what made it easier is that I sort of looked at it, how would I want to be written about if I was in my time, somebody was writing something on my, so I tried to keep that in mind.
The difficulty, you know, like for example, writing about my father, was just trying to channel the right emotions through all the emotions that you have, it took a good couple of years and very, very many thousands of miles before I sort of got anywhere near that. So, you know, it's it can take time.
Yeah.
It can take some space. And that's why, as you rightly said, you don't necessarily need somebody's bestest friend to actually, you know, get in, write, and win a competition. Aha! There's a door. Yeah. That means I haven't been looking.
Yeah.
It does, because there's Stephen.
All right.
Stephen. Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I am very, very well, and you're followed by none other than Sky. How are you?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Sky.
Lovely to have you.
How are you guys?
So,
doing okay. Glad you're here. Both of you.
Yeah.
And
nice,
then
nice
Adam P, look in your inbox. I put Sky's poem on the board.
Ah, brilliant. Even better.
Well, Pattern, I was talking about you. So, if your ears are ringing the other day, it was me. I have a sunset poem, and I just, when I was walking through the forest, I just saw this mushroom was, I mean, you could see by the stump how big it was. It was so huge.
Wow.
I've never to this day have ever seen a mushroom that big and that vibrant. It was so beautiful. This is called Hair Like the Serengeti Sunset by Sky Darkholm. He sunk roots deep into earth, strapped soil like sandals, as if walnut casings of carob dye could shield bark, saw teeth. And there he wept for stolen leaves, ring ears, bare to world, his grief on display. But in time he learned to love a new companion, a dusk of mandarin marmalade, a blooming fungal flower. She was dressed in delicate skin, folded in orange rose, and her hair, oh, how it smelled of woodwork candles, forest glow, as it set like the Serengeti sun and home. It's a little rocky there at the beginning. I should have pre-read that.
That's beautiful. I really like that sky. There's something sort of very sort of calming and quite beautiful about that poem. I don't know why. I don't know whether it was Serengeti or whether it was a mushroom or the hay it was, or whether I'd taken said mushroom and smoked it or what the heck. But it was just a very, very lovely poem. But well done.
Thank you very much.
Tom?
Oh, okay. That's a beautiful picture. Is that tinted a little bit, the picture? Did you enhance the color a little bit?
I did. I did do the background. I darkened the background a little bit. I can give you the, not tonight, but I will personally send the original to your inbox.
Okay.
The background a little bit darker.
Yeah.
Cool.
Not tonight, though. I'll send you stuff Monday.
You're throwing the compost and running, I think, Sky, was what I heard.
Yes.
So, you know, which is lovely. And thank you for joining us and bringing us that lovely poem. Deb, did you want to say a few words about Sky's poem before she has to run?
I do, yeah. I thought it was a really gorgeous brevity, and I'm mega impressed by this couplet, "At dusk of mandarin marmalade, a blooming fungal flower," because it is. And if I'm not mistaken, there's that picture, that mushroom that you took a picture of has the potential to save the bees. It's a special fungus. There's something about those. If they burn it and smoke the bees with that, it helps them. Who knew? I did. right? I thought that this was awesome, especially that, like I said, that image right there. And the little tenderness there, and her hair. Oh, how it smelled of woodwick candles, forest glow. So, like, there was just enough emotion, just enough imagery. It's gorgeous. And on a side note, two things. Hatter, take note to the fact that in the corner of that drawing it says FD. Like, she takes credit for her photos. Like, I keep bugging you to do for your art. Secondly, Sky, was your ears ringing about 5 minutes ago? Because Hatter was talking about you. Just saying.
Really? Oh, I love you. I was talking about you. I was like, my friend Hatter, I forget what it was about now. Oh, I remember. I was camping, and I had made up a word. And I guess electronical or something, or it was something like that. I don't even know what I said. It wasn't electronical, because that's a word. It was something weird, and I said it, and then I was like, it's okay. I can just make up words. I have that privilege. And then I told my friends the whole story about how every time I read a poem, you're like, did you make that up? And they said that I should make up a word just for the time that you say that, so I can come back at you with a made-up word that would make you laugh
there
even harder. Yeah, I haven't done that yet, but my friends and I had a whole conversation about you.
There you go. Your reputation is spreading, Hatter. You know, one mushroom at a time. Okay, Sky, thank you for joining us, and I do believe you do have to exit stage left, but thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. And thank you, guys.
Okay.
And I hope you guys have a good night.
Pleasure.
You
okay,
too.
I'll help you figure that word out.
Yeah, I'm going to have to figure that word out too. Yeah, I've got homework to do. I haven't done it yet, but I will get on it, Hatter. All right, thank you, guys.
Okay.
Really noted. Okay, thank you. Now, Stephen, did we come to a landing on that fundamental question as to whether you were going to read or you were going to listen to yourself reading?
Oh, well, you know, if it's not in the studio, I'll read. That's fine. I was just going to say.
No, it
is
in the studio. But
it is in the studio.
People don't like to listen to themselves read, so I just wanted to check before I assumed. I thought you might have sent it because you weren't sure if you could call. I just like to, I hate assuming. Just saying.
No, I understand. But yeah, if you put it in there, go ahead and hit play.
Okay, dokie. And here is the link to the poem. And AP, if you don't see it, just refresh the studio. But in the meantime, I'll push play.
Thank you.
Ice cream sunsets leave worries buried on a sandbar. By Stephen 76. The pink Catawba sunset that blushes the evening sky dips its bristles into eerie horizon, blending sweet and dry into Great Lake Mimosa. The moon skims the shimmering surface, cleaning all dyes to ebony waters as it sings its silent lullaby to the yellow perch who lie in the weeded depths, leaving us in awe as frozen desserts melt into sugar slurry and waves meeting sand pull acuity's reflections away from frigid chapters, burying them on the sandbar. Then we follow halogen beams home along the curving lake shore. End poem.
That's a very nice little piece, Stan. Very nice little piece. I like the sunset. I'm hoping that's your picture. I haven't gone down and had a look yet to see if it is. Yes, it is. It's your picture. There's a very personal connection to those beautiful colours and lovely choice of words. Very, very nicely done. Most impressed.
Yeah.
Hannah, are you going to say some words about Stephen's poem?
Ice cream sunsets. Yeah. Let me try to play. Okay. The storyline that you have, your style that you've, I guess it was developed even more than I noticed. I noticed it more and more. Seems so strong. Your storytelling is not buried in metaphors, but it's perfectly in line numerically as far as your beginning, middle, and ending. The only thing I could think of is to maybe try repeating a line. Like sometimes I'll take it and repeat the whole first stanza. If it's a longer type, anything more than like five stanzas, I might try to see if it'll fit. Because sometimes it does. The first stanza can act as the last one also. Right, so I remember I wrote one cotton candy clouds or something. That reminded me of ice cream sunset. Yeah, nice and done, yeah.
Thanks, Hunter.
Yeah.
And hello. And Dick, did you want to say a few words about?
Yeah, I think, well, for starters, let me say, Stephen, that picture that you took there is amazing, which leads me to your words. I think that you totally did the art justice with your words. It's image-filled. Love when you bring your crayons. And I think that you, I think that you are really knocking these tens out with ease now. Impressive all the way around. Awesome, Cher.
Thanks, Deb.
Brilliant stuff, Stephen. Now
Picture of the lake? Is that the actual horizon?
Yes. Yeah, that's Lake Erie. Some of the time, when Kay and I go have ice cream and watch the sunset,
that's
lovely. Very, very nice.
Really captured the colors.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we would normally at this point share a you know, our joint piece, but we don't have one. We've been having a break, so we don't have a joint piece. But we are going to have Hatter up
for next week.
So
yeah.
You know, so Hatter, you were going to do your piece that you did for John Coe. Did you want to do that next?
Well, I just put that up there so anybody that's following along can understand what I was talking about.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
they can pick it up.
Yeah, you know.
But
no, I get it. Did you want to
read
it?
I can read it.
Okay,
yeah.
I think you should.
Okay. Go back. Oh, you put it back up there.
Hatter, just half a second before you read. Can we get Stephen to do the rundown, and then that way,
Mr.
Hatter can leave, please?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Sorry, Stephen, I should have done that. Stephen, did you want to say a few words about what's coming up on Politics Splice in the next few days?
Sure, let's see. Well, Monday's easy, the Mortuary of Shadows, is 7:30 p.m. Eastern. It's just going to be open darkness. Wednesday is the Poetic Things at 9 p.m. Eastern. One of Kay's favorite movies we're going to be going with called A Place in the Sun, starring Montgomery Clift and Shirley Winters and Elizabeth Taylor. And then Thursday's my annual Buffett blast, saying goodbye to summer and celebrate with Jimmy Buffett.
Ah, there you go.
Jimmy Buffett. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you that Jimmy's having a lot better time of it than Warren recently, so just keep going, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Hey, Jimmy, though, he's golden. He is golden.
No doubt about that, Hatter. No doubt about that. Now, Hatter, we're back to your piece. The floor is yours.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, this is what I was talking about a little earlier about what I'd written for John Coe, who's no longer with us. And I felt it was sort of because I know some of the people commenting were a lot closer to John than I was. Maybe you just understand what I'm saying. And it goes like this: with paper words. Now, paper words is a poem, a musical poem that he did write. So I grabbed that title and sort of worked with it.
Got it.
With paper words. It goes like this. Aligned in rows, accounted third, we write his tale with paper words. An empty place shall always read his ink he rhymed in poetry. To follow by flight, behold the crow, a memory of a poet I know. Poet's room is there what it seems, treasures abound when a poet dreams. Games that played in stone garden rose. The name remains John Victor Coe. 100 times in 1,000 ways, a dreamer of dreams now rests today. Sleep well, my friend, and everlast, we shall meet again when I shall pass. To follow by flight, behold the crow in memory of a poet I know.
Yeah,
it does work, John.
That repetition, Hatter, it does work.
It's a cool line, and a poet I know. There it was.
Sometimes they appear, and you just got to run with them. Stephen, did you want to say a few words about Hatter's piece?
Oh yeah, I talk to John more often. I talked to him more often when I first came to Off Poetry and kind of lost track towards the end, but still every now and then we'd talk to him. And I think that a lot of this actually really, really works to him because, you know, he loved the rhyme and he always did have really good cadence. And you know, when you talk about where is that? And oh my gosh, it's a brevity and I can't find what I was looking for. the 100 times in 1,000 ways, a dreamer of dreams now rests today. You know, he was a big fan of fantasy because he ran those fantasy contests that everybody loves so much. And I think this was a great tribute to him. Very, very well done.
Thank you.
Deb, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah, John liked to run the fantasy contests and the cats.
Yeah,
I love cat contests, man. And Hatter, as far as you feeling like you cheated other people out, I think that poem is brilliant. And I think there was just enough to make it personal to John. But I think that the fact and the wording was written to a poet, touched every poet that reads it, which the judge is a poet, and that is why it's a well-deserved win between the rhyme, the flow, the sentiment. It is excellent, excellent, right?
Yeah, thank you. You know, I do remember, and as the years went by, it was fewer and fewer that we would run into each other, but to when he would comment on my work, I know he was a rhymer. He's got this same curse we do. And I knew it just seemed to click what he was saying. His words, like a few other poets, meant a lot more. Yeah, that they were rhymers. That I've poorly said. I appreciate anybody that's commenting on my work. And I don't try to say that one's not better than the other. It's just John was, I don't want to say struggling rhymers, but boy, I'll tell you what, we suffer sometimes trying to get it to rhyme. It can drive you crazy. And like you said, I asked UAP one time that I was disheartened when I got here because all I heard was rhyme is passe. Nobody rhymes anymore in poems, and some people wouldn't even read if it was rhyming. But I asked you, it's sort of heartbroken, goes, is this the way that it is? I mean, no more rhyming? Because I don't know how to write anything else at that time. And you told me, I said, you told me that it'll like anything else, it's a cycle. And the winter, it'll come back around. And maybe we're there again. Not that there's nothing wrong with free verse. There's nothing wrong with it.
No, there's nothing. But I think there's... you know, we've said this before, Hatter, that it's harder to write good rhyme. Sorry, it is, and it's easier to write really bad rhyme. You know, so rank, really awful, terrible rhyming, and it's the worst poetry there is because it sounds bloody awful, and it looks awful. And so what lots of people say is, well, just do that, just go and do free verse. And I say, well, bullshit. You're just learning how to do rhyme.
Well,
and the more you do it, it'll turn into that.
Well, if nothing else, it gave me a little complex, a little more aware that rhyming poets are going to be judged harshly. So I tried never to anything that sounds forced, cliche-ish, or makes you trip. I'm very, very aware. So maybe it may be a little better conscientious rhymer, being that I was going to be looked at a little more critical, I thought, being a rhymer. Whatever. And it's so easy to do to force something in there and you don't see it. That doesn't.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. And look, you can be blind to your own failings too. You know, you know that can happen as well. Now, Stephen, are you going to hang around for a bit, or are you going to hit the night air?
No, I'm gonna have to take off. I just wanted to throw my two cents in on the whole rhyme thing. To me, it's a matter of subject matter. Me, some subjects do better with rhyme, and other subjects are better with free verse. And that's
yeah. That's the way it works. Yeah, fair enough too. Yep.
Thanks, have a great night.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks for dropping by.
Night, Stephen. Yeah. Say hi to Kay for us.
Yep.
There we go. Guy and Stephen drop past. So we should do one of the pieces that got sent in, I think, at this point. Deb, maybe we do Gerald Green's piece. Because we did have a topic. Go bigger. We had a topic. Haven't done much on it yet, but we did have a topic. And that was Sunset. And Gerald was kind enough to write to that topic. And so we might do his SoundCloud now, I think.
Sounds like a plan.
Here we go. This is Gerald Green.
Sunset, written and read by Gerald Green. I stood alone, waiting for the splendor, gazing west at the appointed hour, watching the giant orb behind distant clouds, moving at its own pace, marking its own time. When I arrived, gray was the color at horizon's line, where water and atmosphere kiss. The ocean reflecting off its salty surface, nature's mirror about to be placed in sunset's drawer, made horizon's line fuzzy. Minute by minute, color shifted. Imperceptible change of warmer hues brought cooler air to the growing crowd around me. A silent battle of night and day raged before my eyes, each seeking dominance. And then day's blood slowly turned the sky to pale pink. Night's victory was applauded by the large gathering as gray slowly succumbed, replaced by brilliant red. Moments later, day's free-flowing blood lost its splendor. Its life waned with ever-deeper shades. Darkness traveled quickly from the east, covering the sea, overtaking me, while another day breathed its last. I returned to my car with the others, mourning the loss of a friend, a day I would never see again.
Well, thank you very much for that, Gerald. I'm actually writing you a quick comment, because I wish I don't do often, because it was that was beautifully portrayed, lovely words, and just the way you used the red of the blood and how you described that change was just brilliant. Hada, what did you think?
Yeah, he's got one of those voices too that just can draw you in.
Yes.
Yeah, it does.
Yes.
I think the one replacement when he writes by the large gathering as gray slowly succumbed, replaced by brilliant red. Now there's a poem written by the Moody Blues, and I won't do the whole thing, but there's a part that says cold hot dawn of which is my sight removes the colors. When it was red is gray and yellow white. So what it is the darker it gets, the grays come out. When the colors, when the sunlight starts, then you start seeing the reds from the grays. That's what it is.
Yeah, right.
But that's well done. Really red.
Possible. No, I agree. Absolutely it was. So, and Deb, what did you think of Gerald's face?
Well, I agree with what you were both saying about listening to him read, for one. I'm so glad that he just keeps trucking on with these recordings and stuff. And, I mean, you know, doing radio shows and doing local stuff where he lives as well. And in this one, he packed it with incredible images. And I'm kind of jealous of the one section because, like, I've used the thought of the ocean being a mirror before, but the wording here, the ocean, mm-hmm. reflecting off its salty surface, nature's mirror, about to be placed in sunset's drawer, made horizon lines fuzzy. It's just like a perfect description, and I like the wording that mentions the ocean mirror. Another great share from Gerald. Always impressive.
So, Patta, I was thinking that we might get Deb to go next because if anybody can follow colours and talk about colours in a meaningful way, it's yourself, Deb. So I have got your palm up on the board now.
Making me go after Gerald. Okay, I hope I brought a good one. Let's see. Okay. Oh, I love this art. Okay. All right. It's called Sunset. I don't know why I'm losing my voice. Sunset off the Cape shines a colored filled drape. And here we go. Just outside the sliding glass doors at the gingerbread cottage by the foaming sea, Mother Earth splashes the sky with bold kaleidoscope colors glittering just for me. Plump caramel and cashmere clouds roll by the quill squawking as... What? I'm sorry. Plump caramel and cashmere clouds roll by the gull squawking as he flies. Stained tints of peanut butter brittle toffee on the butterscotch skies. Copper kettle colors line the landscape views and the ocean top mirror wears root beer soda hues. The blazing goldenrod centerpiece dots the horizon with light, then ducks down into the water for the moon to climb at night. Cantaloupe-tinted mist rises, a whale silhouettes the glow. Two sand crabs crawl on the shoreline in the saltwater overflow. Lemon meringue shrouds swirl, twirling maize and mocha shapes as sunset blankets the skyline with melon-trimmed yellow drapes. In the Adirondack chair on the porch, I sigh with my periwinkle coffee mug in hand. I spot stars freckling the mahogany night neath moonlight shadows, cruising coastline sand. And boom.
Pull down on the goldenrod butterscotch peanut brittle toffee caramel tones, Deb. But I was waiting for periwinkle. I didn't think it'd be the cup. That was kind of fun. You knew I was waiting for it. Where the hell
thank
is periwinkle?
You.
Oh, here it is.
And see that mirror? My mirror was boring compared to his. But anyway. I had a couple more crayons in mind.
That was very good. No, it was fun. Hannah, what did you think of Deb's piece?
I could look it up myself, but I'm just going to go ahead and ask. An Adirondack chair.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
Ah, well, I'll put one on the board.
Oh, okay.
Chair's coming.
Is that like a director's chair or a swinging...
No. Think beach. It's a chair.
Oh, beach. Okay.
That is made in New York, and it's a little lower to the ground so that you can rub your feet in the sand, and it's the way it's cut. And I am grabbing one right now.
Right.
To put it, because I'm there. Once you see it, you'll know exactly what it is.
I know what it looks like.
Okay.
Is that more of a brand? Is that more of a brand?
It's a brand and the shape. Like all.
And
it might be made of a different material. It might be plastic or wood. It might be any color you could imagine. But it will always be shaped the way it's shaped now, if I can find it here. Okay, there's the chat wall. Here it comes.
Okay.
I'm watching.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. See how it's a little lower and slanted some? It'll always be that. And it could be any. There's resin. There's wood. Natural. Color. Anyway. That's
the matter on for sure. Got it. Okay. So, Hatter, we haven't really talked about how hard or how easy you found doing the poem this week. How did you find the poem writing about?
I found myself having to restart three different times because I thought I knew where I was going, and then it had morphed a little bit somewhere, and so I had to start over. I tried to keep the theme and thought that I wanted through my right. It's one of those things where I'm not satisfied, happy with it, but you guys might be.
Okay, well, let us put it up on the board. We've had these before where you sort of said, we actually think that goes all right, Hatter. So let's just put it up on the board. Now, are you happy to read, or did you want one of us to read for you?
Look, go ahead. Why don't you read it? I am having just a little trouble with my eyes.
So let us have a go, and it is a brevity. This is
the first line is forget the OKI. Don't OKI is not there. I don't know how that got there.
Okay. Perfect. Okay, the OKI is there. That's as green as it will ever get, and it goes a bit like this. A question of sight is one you'll get. What's better in life, a rise or a set? Behind the mountains, the sky will glow. It's where I'm from and all that I know. I've never seen an ocean sigh, nor have I watched one in disguise. The sky paints colours that has no name. It drinks from puddles in the pouring rain. Brushes by numbers and clouds that thunder. It's as good as it ever gets. To see the green and to know what it means. The flash of a California sunset. In pop.
Yeah.
That goes okay, Hatter. That goes okay.
You gotta speed it up.
What's wrong with that?
Sounded better with you, Hatter.
Well, I don't know. The sky paints colours that has no name. I love that. It drinks from puddles in the pouring rain, and that's even better. I really like that.
Cool.
Behind the mountains, the sky. Hello, it's where I'm from and all that I know. That's very nice. Deb, what did you think?
No, I like it too. And I like, aside from the OKA at the beginning, I like a question of sight is when you'll get what's better in life, a rise or a set. It's a cool question to start with, but you turn around, no matter what you do, you have that patented Hatter rhyme, so you can't really go wrong. And I like the one, too, with the sky paints colors that has no name. It drinks from puddles in the pouring rain. But that's perfect. The sky paints colors that has no name. And one of them is that pink-purple blendish thing that the sky does around here. And, it's stunning. Just saying. Great gravity, Hatter.
Yeah, it's hard to think that there's actually words for those colors. When you start seeing colors in nature, that
yes,
you don't know what the name of it is. You know?
No, you don't. But I think that works. That works quite well. I think that's actually that's actually complete. I think sometimes you sort of a bit harsh on yourself about what's complete and what's not complete. I think that one's complete.
Sounded better when you read it.
Oh, yeah. wow, you know, depends on whether you like Australian accents or
well,
not.
Put in the green flash. You know, when it's got to go, when it sets on the Pacific and it, right, the last moment of light, there'll be a big green flash. And
it's pretty neat.
I wanted to incorporate that somehow.
Yeah. That's very good. That's very good. Okie doke. Well, we do have another poem that was sent in to us through the SoundCloud, and that was by a Laughing Soul. So I have put that poem up on the board, and I'm going to play it now. So here we go.
Sunset at the Bay, a poem by Laughing Soul. Cascades, a concoction of apricot and peach schnapps, plush the coral waves on open shores. Sands embed footprints of the daughters of deep seas. Songs of the tribes flute the briny breeze. As retreat fisherwomen to their rustic abodes, singing to the ocean melodious folklores. Coolies of Mumbai with saris intricately pleated, fragrant jasmines tucked in a bun, carrying the catch of the day with their wicker baskets brightly sway. Sunset at the Bay, a concoction of mirthful maples, silhouette of faraway boats, a fortress of fables. Intoxicating serenity unfurls at twilight, a salmon sunset beckoning the moonlight. End poem.
And there you go. Thank you once again for sending us a piece, Laughing Soul, and particularly like, again, the use of colours, the beautiful apricot and peach and the blush of the coral, but also the history of the tribe of people who just go fishing, and that's what they do, and you've written about them with great joy, so thank you. Deb, did you want to say a few words about Laughing Soul's piece?
Yeah, well, for one thing, I find myself Googling just in case apricot and peach schnapps is a real concoction, because, I mean, I know schnapps is real, but it sounds so yummy, apricot and peach schnapps. Anyway, but the poem has got very beautiful imagery, and her voice, it's always so calming and tranquil. It's a extra texture that comes with the poems when she reads for us, and there's a softness. I really like listening to her read. Beautiful job.
And the guitar was lovely too, Laughing Soul, by the way. Hannah, what did you want to say?
It amazes me sometimes how she can manipulate the English language. And that's not her. Is it French or Italian? What is she, her original language? I can't remember.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It could be. I mean, I believe she lives in India, but
okay.
I do not know how many other languages she knows.
You know, especially with that part of the world, they have a great understanding of the English language, a lot more so than I and a lot of people I know. So I think that gives them an advantage writing verse. Yeah, beautifully done.
I will say out of the writing and poetry and publishing community for poetry is probably in as good a shape anywhere in the world as in India. You know, they've done an amazing job to nurture and protect poetry, not just in English, but of course, I imagine Laughing Soul will be speaking Hindi as well, primarily, and probably Hindi and English at the very least. Done a remarkable job to actually get books out there and to publish, and it's a very thriving and active community.
Yeah, they're going through a Western introduction to Western culture and art years ago. I remember finding some of my poems in somebody's folder in a Pakistani site, and it had a bunch of my work up. I didn't know whether to be upset or not. He didn't ask for permission, but my name was on it.
Yeah, right.
And there was about six other AP poets that he had taken to. And all he's doing was saying, "Hey, check these pieces out." So
yeah, exactly.
I didn't do anything.
It's hard to get upset about people saying, "Go and check this out," you know. So But brilliant stuff. And so I thought to go and put my couple of brevities up, but I got about sunset. I wrote the even more brevity this morning after having a go at it on the plane yesterday. And the one before that was from the plane ride before then. So there are two plane poems, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but they are what they are. This is, firstly, Tomorrow, the brevity of the brevities. And it goes a bit like this. Deeper red soon trails, gums tower like masts, while overtaken pales, shadows brief like cast. A cornucopia of green with a fine golden hue, view temporary scene beamed here through. For a second we see contrast is still bright, the grey is glorious and delight. Blink, then a change, for our sun departed, left ready in its range. So tomorrow imparted. End poem.
Wow. Blink, then a change, for our sun departed. Imparted. This is a little different. Were you on the plane when you wrote this? Did you say?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, it's on the plane.
The minute you said the title, I thought of Annie. Tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't even know this song. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to admit, I saw the... See, I was thinking something else at it, because we always do this, but I was thinking of what Jed Bartlett was thinking on the plane in the final episode of The West Wing when his wife turned to him, when he had this look on his face, when he looked out the window, and he said the last word of the series, which was tomorrow. There you go. Very specific, as you do, and the sun was setting in that as well. Anyway.
Cool.
Deb, did you want to say some words on that micro brevity before I move on to sort of slightly less brevity?
Yes. I want that second stanza there with the cornucopia of green, the view temporary scene beamed here through. The thought of that, the temporary scene, is actually quite brilliant because it's in almost a blink, that temporary scene is gone. And you could miss all those colors. So there was just something I really liked about that. And then blink, then a change for our sun departed, which leads to that temporary scene. So I thought it was a very clever brevity.
Use, I have to say, ever of the word cornucopia in a poem.
Yeah.
I couldn't give another one.
No, first use ever of cornucopia. So, you know, we've got that out there, which is always important to get a new word in somewhere along the line. And the last one, the second one, by me, finally got it off my computer. This is Moved On, and it goes a little bit like this. The sun has long since moved on, leaving a sprinkling of stars hark. Now black where once rays shone, the blue moon finds hustles for a lark. The sunset in play but a moment, when a palette of colours richly meld, means in place through light bent, until an instant all arcs are felled. Between a breath of sunlight stance and the cloak that crosses upon eve, where the orange brumbies prance, their manes do burn in a fiery weave. And that instant falls from thought like the dew upon grass in the morn, until again that brief instant caught, when our sun lies torn. End poem. That's more classically me.
There's some, yeah, there's some similarity to the maybe it wasn't yours. Blue moon finds hustles. Now, is there a word bank in this?
Okay. Just did them as we went.
Yeah. And you can't read it forward and backwards. You can't read it backwards or anything like that.
Maybe you can. Okay. If you can, if it's complete, you know, it'd be a complete, you know, whatever. The trouble with a thing like sunset, of course, is that it sort of builds and happens and things go, and then it's sort of gone, and, you know, I mean, although you might be able to read it backwards by stanza.
Don't you dare.
You could. No, you could by stanza, I think.
You usually could,
let's
yeah.
Try it, huh? Let's try it. We'll go backwards by step. 4, 3, 2, 1. Here, we try this. And that instant falls from thought like the dew upon grass in the morn, until again that brief instant caught in that flash when a sun lies torn. Between a breath of sunlight's dance and the cloak that crosses upon eve, when the orange brumbies prance, their manes do burn in a fiery weave. For sunset in play for but a moment, when a palette of colours richly meld, means in place through light bent until an instant all arcs have felled. The sun has long since moved on, leaving a sprinkling of stars hark. Now black where once rays shone, a blue moon find hustles for a lark. That works okay. That works fine.
Yeah. Wow.
That works. You can do that.
Yeah, all about the words, man. Orange
bumbies. I'm trying to decide whether I like the first stanza better or the third one, beneath a breath of sunlight stands and the cloak that crosses upon Eve. But I do, I really love that beginning there. The sun has long since moved on, leaving a sprinkling of stars. Hark, there's some really good rhyme and flow in this one. So it's got gorgeous images throughout.
You could put four poems together and say, who the hell was this? And you'd pick it out of the bunch, this one. It's got just something stylistically that says it's me all the way through it. Anyway, there you go. Now, Hannah, I saw on the board that we may have got a topic for next week. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have not done that yet. Right?
No, I don't think so. No,
yeah.
And that's why I'm asking you.
Gonna go with keys. Keys.
We're gonna go with keys.
Keys.
We're going with, aren't we? Just keys.
Yep.
Yeah. We're not going with the nautical Q-U-A-Y-S keys. Being completely different and separate. We're going with the metal things that, you know, open stuff. We're going with keys. K-E-Y-S. Okay? Now, if you happen to write something on keys, we accept it. But we're just saying we're going with keys.
So that sounds like a plan. And I did choose and send a collaboration.
Thank you.
Guys, it's called The Fantastic Voyage. So there's that. And Keith.
And Keith, before we do anything more, did you want to talk about the shows that are coming up in the next few days on the Team of Voices?
Sure. Well, on Monday, we are going to tackle the postponed show that has some amazing-looking palms from the James Webb Telescope.
Yeah.
The images are amazing, and they're still throwing stuff out on a daily basis and telling us about new discoveries. Quite fascinating.
Yeah.
Brilliant stuff. Not all the news is wonderful, but the art or the photos sure are. So I'm looking forward to that. And then if everything works out, my suite will do her show on fate, fiction, fortune tellers, and foolishness. Like, you know, do you believe when you walk into a room, does the little hair stand up, and do you pay attention to your intuition, that kind of stuff, which should be really, really fun. And both of those shows go live at 10 p.m. And we'll leave that there for the moment. And look forward to both of them shows.
Excellent. And Hannah, did you want to say, because we're going to finish with Bruno's song to finish the show. Did you want to say a few thank yous?
The Sweet Pea's show, I talked to her. She called me and she wanted me to be a part of that show, the mediums, mentalists, magic, whatever you call it. So that would be interesting.
Will be interesting.
Yeah.
She's got a great story to share, too. She shared with me, so it should be a personal story that she'll share. Aside from the comparison that she made on her topic board between the Titan and the Titanic, if you check out her board, you'll see that.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you, Doug.
Yeah.
Hannah?
Me,
you want to
bring your
hand
around that. I'm sorry.
Hannah, what are we closing with Budo's song?
We're closing with Budo's song. That's exactly what we're doing.
Perfect.
That's where we were going to go. So thank you to Budo for sending that in. Hannah, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah, I want to thank Deborah. You can't do any of this without you. Great little sister. Thank you so much. I love you. AP Taylor, Saturday night, I always look forward to hanging out with you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And everybody for writing to the shows. Thank you, Gerald. And Sky showed up. Thank you, Steven.
Yep.
Yeah, who am I missing?
Laughing
Soul.
Well,
a couple of poems by Laughing Soul and by
Gerald.
Yeah, Brown.
Laughing Soul. Thank you.
Which were fantastic. And Budo, of course, in the song to finish, which is terrific. Yeah. So thank you.
One other thing before we push that song. For those of you involved in the A Team of Voices Fantasy Football League, be sure to check your email. The fantasy football draft is set. And if you are occupied, it will automatically draft for you, but hopefully you can be there or be square.
Cool.
And that's at 8:30 on 8:30. Easy to remember.
8:30.
And lucky me, I get to hang out with you two every Saturday. So, just saying. Love and respect.
So, my thanks to everybody, to, of course, Hannah and Deb for being there every week. It was good to be back and not be transiting airports or customs or boarding lounges or anything similar to that. It was nice just to be sitting at my home and being on the bench here. It was much appreciated, I can tell you. Good time. We will be back for keys next week. I should say, before I hit the keys song and finish on that, all our best wishes to our fellow co-host Pretty Bird. Get well soon so that you can be back with us and helping us all out. So apart from that, be well, everybody, and thank you to Buddha, and we'll finish with this song now. Talk soon, everybody. Keys next week. Bye.
Monday came too fast in the setting of the sun. You had your bags packed and run. Tuesday I cried all day, wondered where it had all gone. Time in loving you too long. So you ran astray and tried to make your way tomorrow for today. And you ran away and tried to make a play for tomorrow for today. Wednesday a drinking ride, woke up on Pacific time, thoughts and memories my mind. Thursday, get out of bed, can't get you out of my head. A tragic story, better left unsaid. So you ran astray and tried to make your way for tomorrow, for today. Ran away and tried to make a play for tomorrow, for today. One thing you can't deny, love you saw in my eyes, in my tears, sweet darling, a silent sigh. Glowing like the midnight sun, dark takes light and overcomes. In my tears, sweet darling, a silent sigh. Monday came too fast, in the setting of the sun, you had your bags packed and run. Tuesday I cried all day, wondered where it all gone. Time in loving you too long.
And with that, we say thank you to Buddha and everybody else that helped and assisted with the Sunset program. Thanks to Deb and Hatter. And we'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. We've had leading us through the topic keys. Have fun, everybody. We'll catch you in a week. Bye.